Well, can you believe that 2025 is about over? Thank you so much for joining us today. We're thrilled to have you with us. If I have not had the privilege to meet you, I am Joe Creech, one of the pastors on staff here. In fact, this coming year, I will have had the privilege to serve here and really, I feel like, grow up here for 40 years. So welcome this morning. While we're clapping, thank you very much. It is also the anniversary of Pastor Tyler and Rachel, so we're thrilled for them. In just a moment, I'll ask you to stand up, but I'll be reading some selected verses this morning from the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi and to us, describing how to live life. So let's stand as we read together. We stand out of respect for God's word. From Philippians 1, yes, and I will rejoice. Philippians 2, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share my joy, your joy with me. Philippians 3, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Please be seated. In just a moment, I will pray for us. But before I pray, would you take just a moment and in the silence of your own heart, ask the Lord to come and meet with you today. Oftentimes when we hear a sermon, we think, well, so-and-so should have been here to hear that sermon, or we're poking someone beside us. But the sermon each week is for you, and it's for me. So would you pray, just asking the Lord to come and meet with you right where you are. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning, if we're honest, there is every emotion imaginable seated here today. For some, the week could not have been better, and for some, it's been so hard. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and be in our midst today. Be our encourager, our motivator this morning. Meet us right where we are, that we might see you more clearly and truly love you more dearly. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The date was June 25th, 1951. That's even before my time. And the world was about to change. CBS broadcast the first TV program in living color, but most people couldn't see it because they only had black and white TVs. The first RCA color TV cost $995. That would be equivalent to $12,000 today. So no complaining about the cost of TVs today. Let me ask you, how do you live life? Do you live in full color, with an awareness of the joys and the difficulties, able to acknowledge your feelings to God, yourself, and others? Do you live in healthy relationships, or are you living in black and white, with all the regrets that perhaps are in your story? Can you rejoice? Can you lament? Can you be truthful about what's going on in your own heart? What's your perspective today? The reality is that many have hearts that are broken and troubled. Some find sleep elusive and the stomach is aching over the concerns. You think that you've given an issue to the Lord to only find that you're still dwelling on it. Some here have tried to rid yourself of the pains and the wounds and the what-ifs of the past, but you look in the mirror and the scars are still there. Perhaps not to others, but they are to you. Not that long ago, perhaps, you had the hope of the future, but events and the incessant events of life just keep coming at us. Here's my premise as we start today. When we are imprisoned by the pains of the past and paralyzed by the fears of the future, we actually miss living life today. We all have heard the embellished story of the college student adjusting to life, writing her parents about her situation. Fearful they would not understand, she finally wrote this after much thought. "Dear Mom and Dad, just thought I'd drop you a note to clue you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy named Jim. He dropped out of high school a while back and recently left his wife. We've been hanging out for a couple months and plan to get married this fall. I've decided to move into his apartment, and I think I am pregnant. At any rate, I dropped out of school, but I'd like to finish sometime in the future." And then on the very next page, she continued, "Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that everything I've written so far is false. None of it is true. But Mom and Dad, it is true that I got a C in French and I flunked math. It is true that I'm going to need some more money for my tuition payments." You know, from the right vantage point, even the bad news sounds pretty good. And may God grant us each one a fresh perspective today in regards to how we are viewing life in the past, in the present, and in the future. The Apostle Paul gives us some insight into how we can move forward with our lives when life seems to have lost all meaning, when our hearts are breaking, when our confidence and our courage are shattered, when we're feeling so tired and so all alone, when we can't make sense out of the past and we are terrified of the future. The Apostle Paul actually shares his story as he dealt with his past, which was not very pretty at times, his present, well, he was actually in a Roman prison, and his future, which will actually give encouragement to each of us. Let's look at the past, the hurts that linger and the decisions that haunt us. These may be our own decisions or decisions that others have imposed upon us. Paul was chained and he was bound in jail. And so many of us live life being imprisoned by our past. The pains, the mistakes, the regrets, the shame, the sin, the guilt, and maybe even the prison of our successes. Someone wrote that even our gloating over past successes is an enemy of spiritual progress in our lives. Listen to Paul in Philippians 3, beginning with verse 4. "Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless." Paul is looking into his past, and Paul put confidence in his heritage, who he was, and what he had done. And this led to pride in his thinking that he was better than everybody else. Paul put confidence in his zeal, being a persecutor of the early church, facilitating the death of Christians. And you can only imagine the shame that was his after becoming a follower of Christ himself. Paul put confidence in his own righteousness, blameless in relation to the law, which led to arrogance, his being convinced that he was above others. But God redeemed Paul's past. Yesterday is God's to redeem, and we each need to know that. We try very hard to hide the past, and we think that not dealing with it somehow is good for us. That is what I experienced in my family growing up. Many of you have heard me say that I never knew my biological father, and we were never allowed to talk about it in my family. I thought I was good. I thought I was okay because we didn't talk about it. But there was an emptiness that I did not know how to handle. And then after schooling and after 4 years in Mexico and hearing stories of others, I found myself back in the U.S. for a year. And I started studying some classes in marriage and family. I wanted to help all these people that were wanting to talk to me in Mexico. I no sooner started the first class when I was told that part of the program meant that I would go to counseling. Well, I told the professor that I didn't need counseling. And he said, "Great, tell your counselor." Well, very early on, the counselor asked me to share about my family of origin. And I said, well, I never knew my father growing up, and we were not allowed to discuss it, but I'm fine. Well, it went downhill from there. And really, it didn't. In fact, God started redeeming that part of my life. I was able to deal with the shame that was no cause of my own. I was able to talk about it and not hide it. I found out that I was in the program not for others, but for myself. And I saw God redeem and use my story in my own life, but also to touch the stories of others. And God also will redeem your past. And He generally does that in a relationship. Paul's past indeed included a relationship that changed everything. Paul's view of life and of himself was radically changed after coming into relationship with Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 7, "For whatever things were gained to me, I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Paul came into relationship with Jesus. And then in verse 9, Paul learned that there was no righteousness of his own derived from the law, but that righteousness comes from Christ on the basis of faith. His self-centered pride, his misdirected zeal, and then his crippling self-righteousness were all conquered by Paul being in relationship with God through the work of Jesus. Righteousness was given to Paul, earned not by him, but rather earned through the work of the Lord Jesus. What a perspective Paul has here. He says the tremendous privilege of knowing Christ changes everything. Paul experienced and lived the wonder of knowing Christ. Verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering." Paul is writing these words after nearly 30 years of knowing Christ, and he is counting all those things which he has given up as rubbish, as nothing, for the honor of knowing Jesus. His life was changed radically in his knowing Christ. The gospel changes everything. Paul's story went from dark to light. Jesus is writing a story in your life, ongoing, chapter by chapter. Some people can't believe the changes in you. Christ comes and he brings healing. Where have you gone in your life from dark to light? Some of you have heard me tell the story of Fernando in Acapulco at the children's home. He came as a very young boy. He couldn't talk. There was no eye contact. You couldn't touch him. He was angry and he was mean. He had been tied to a tree for most of his life. The changes in him over the years are amazing. Janet Yost, in the year 2000, came to Acapulco with us, and she chose Fernando as their child to sponsor. A worker a few years later came to me and said, "I need to confess something to you. When I came to work here, I thought Fernando was an animal, that he was not human. But over the last years, because of Janet and Paul coming and loving him, I have seen God change Fernando." God took Fernando from dark to light as he experienced the love of Christ through the love of people. And then on in the story, when it became time to make papers to register Fernando with the government and needing a last name because he had none, Because of his joy in worshiping the Lord at chapel time, the children gave him his last name. On his government-issued ID papers, he is Fernando Aleluya. Christ changed Fernando. He's a happy, hard-working young man today. And God keeps working also in us, just as he did in Fernando and just as he did in the Apostle Paul. Paul said, that I may know him. The gospel changes us when we know Jesus. What about you and me? Do we view knowing Christ as such a great honor and privilege? Are changes happening in us, going from darkness to light, from selfishness to being focused on others, from being the center of attention to serving others? Paul had a wonder, an amazement at knowing Jesus. What about us? Do we long to know Jesus, to have that same passion in knowing him? Might we have great joy in saying with Paul, that I may know him. In fact, it might be easier for us to say, I get to know him. I get to know Jesus, Lord of lords and King of kings. What about the past? What do we do with it? Well, we're certainly to learn from it. But Paul says to forget what lies behind. Verse 13 and 14, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Some of us have things out of our past that we're not proud of, things in some cases that we don't think that even God can forgive us, and maybe you've not even been able to forgive yourself. How is Paul able to forget his sins? First, he is able to because he had experienced the forgiveness of his sin. Do you know that your sins are forgiven if you trust Christ? Oh, you can know in your head, but your self-talk will tell you what's going on in your heart and whether or not you see those sins as forgiven. As Paul uses the word forget, he is not saying to erase it from his mind. He has, in fact, just recalled those things from the past for illustration's sake in verses 4 through 6. So it's not some absolute forgetting like we think of the word. Rather, forgetting is a promise to not bring it up for future ammunition against yourself or against someone else, to give power to a forgiven sin. And may we not allow Satan to bring back up our forgiven sins from the past to hold against us. God redeems the past of Paul and of us. A while back, I was in Home Depot, and I bought some of the coolest ceiling paint ever. Maybe you've seen it. It's pink. If you put white paint on white paint, it's very hard to know where you've put it. So they made this ceiling paint pink. But then as it dries, it turns white. Well, at the counter, going from the basket to the register, I dropped a gallon of pink paint, and it exploded. People were coming from everywhere to see what this noise was, and there, everyone was looking at me as I am standing in the middle of spreading pink paint. Now, I did not try to explain to everyone that it's really white, okay? There, you just couldn't do it. Well, I left quickly. They were very nice about it at the store. But the next week, I went back to get some more pink paint. And when I went to the same counter, there was a huge white stain. What about you? Does the past obstruct how you live today? Is there still a stain that colors you? Is there a crushing burden of guilt from the past? Are there ghosts of past failures that return to haunt and torment you so that you miss the joy that is yours today in Christ? Are there past successes that you tend to rely on for your significance, things that you still trust somehow in to put you in favor with God or somebody else? My stain at Home Depot is now gone. I check on it from time to time. And it wasn't just time that did it. Somebody cleaned and cleaned, and it is gone. And any stain that colors you from your past is gone in Jesus as you are forgiven. You would do well, like Paul, to forget those things which lie behind. There's too much living to do today to be reliving the past. We must process it. We must learn from it. But we must live life today. There are other things in our past that can imprison us also and rob us of joy today. What about the past hurts that you've encountered from the hand of someone else? Some here have experienced broken relationships of a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend. Some have been the victims of all types of abuse by someone close to you or by someone with power over you. Some here have never really felt loved. Some perhaps who have never heard words of love spoken to you. Some have been the victims of the vicious, cutting tongue of someone close to you. And some have even allowed yourself not even allowed yourself to admit these very things. A question for you. Is there someone whom you need to forgive? Maybe even yourself. And in forgiving, there is a promise that we make to not bring it up for future ammunition. Monthly, right here, we come to the Lord's Supper that screams at us to forgive because we have been forgiven. As you partake of the Lord's Supper, be reminded every time of the forgiveness you have been granted, and then grant that forgiveness to one who might have hurt you, whether he or she might be sitting next to you in church or whether that one might have been dead for 20 years. The story is told of King Louis XII of France as he shows us what to do with the hurts and the injustices. When Charles VIII was king, he constantly was mistreating Louis. And after a time, Louis came to the throne, and his close aides advised him to take revenge on all the persons who had surrounded the former king against Louis. And it became known with time that Louis had indeed drawn up a list of his enemies. And he did it in such a way that everybody was scared to death because he drew beside their name a little red cross. And they assumed revenge was coming and they began to flee. And when King Louis heard that, he summoned a special session of the court to explain the meaning of the red cross. And this is what he said to his subjects. Be content and do not fear. The cross which I drew by your name is not a sign of punishment, but a pledge of forgiveness and a seal for the sake of the crucified Savior, who upon his cross forgave all of his enemies, prayed for them, and blotted out the handwriting that was against them. What about us? How do we deal with past hurts? Why not draw a red cross as a pledge of forgiveness besides the name of the one who has hurt you? And nothing helps us move on from the past like forgiving after you know that you also have been forgiven. You might say, they don't deserve to be forgiven. And that is the point that is crucial for us to not just understand, but to absolutely embrace. We did not deserve to be forgiven by Christ. We had no merit. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That's the point that Paul is making. Christ is everything. Toscanini, the famous conductor, had just finished an amazing Beethoven symphony, and he gathered all his musicians around him, and he said to them, "I am nothing, you are nothing. Beethoven is everything." Paul in Philippians 3 is saying, "I am nothing. Christ is everything." The past of Paul is redeemed. Let me mention briefly the future. As we often are so fearful of what the future holds that we are paralyzed and not able to function. Paul had every reason to live in fear. He had already been beaten, whipped, stoned, imprisoned. There were angry mobs, there was hunger and thirst, and so much more. And as he looked into the future, Paul says, reaching forward to what lies ahead, there is hopeful anticipation, not fear. He's not fearful of what the future held, even though he was in jail. Some dread the future, the unknown, so much that there is a paralysis. Some fear illness and death, being hurt again, financial struggles. Some have fears regarding children and parents. Some fear being found out, even though we're already known by God. Some fear all the above that I mentioned. The future is not something to be feared by the child of the one who holds the future. Your heavenly Father holds your future securely. What about you? What is it that you fear about the future? Paul would say, don't worry, live life now. Living in the present, let me go back to verse 12, which gives the key for dealing with the past and the future and the present. Paul says, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here that we are laid hold of by Christ. Don't miss this. God is always the pursuer. If you consider your story, you are going to think that you were pursuing God until you look more deeply. Paul thought he was living his life pursuing God, but God was actually pursuing Paul. Paul was on that road to Damascus, and Jesus invaded Paul's world. God is always the initiator, the pursuer. Christ laid hold of Paul. Have you been laid hold of by Jesus? If you sense that Jesus is wooing you, come talk to us. We would love to talk to you about that. It is only as Paul truly sees Christ for who he is and understands the forgiveness provided by the blood that he's able to forget the past, that he's able to move forward and truly live the present focused on Christ. Jesus became his passion. Remember, Paul says, that I may know him. We are so prone to focus on all that is swirling around us, and we must learn to focus on Christ. Don't give up. I know some of you are utterly weary with it all. I encourage you to get a new perspective. Press on with Paul to know Christ. The story is told of Paderewski, the great composer, pianist, who was backstage preparing to perform at a great concert hall. In the audience was a mother with her young son, whom she had brought, hoping that he would be inspired to practice his piano more. And while waiting, the young boy grew weary and he wandered away from his mom. And there he is on the stage, seated at the concert grand Steinway piano. And he began to play what he knew, which was chopsticks. And the crowd realized what was going on, and some of them were not very kind. They began to jeer and say, get off the stage, or where's the mother? Well, she was under a chair somewhere. And Paderewski, backstage, he heard Chopsticks, and he heard the jeers, and he put together quickly what was going on. And he appeared on stage unintroduced. And he came up behind the young boy, and he puts his arms around both sides, and he began to play, improvise a harmonious counter melody to Chopsticks. As the two played, he kept saying, whispering to the young boy, "Keep going, don't quit, keep on playing, son, don't stop, don't quit." Friends, don't stop, don't quit, keep on going. Even though to you right now, your task and your calling in life may seem about as significant as Chopsticks in the concert hall, Jesus is there, and his arms go around you and give meaning to life. And he is saying, don't stop, don't quit, I am with you. I have a promise for you today. It's from God. It's the same promise that I received about 55 years ago from someone who was very important in my young life. And Paul wrote it to the Philippians, and he writes it to you today. Philippians 1:6, as Paul writes, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God has pursued you, and he promises here to continue that good work in you until he comes back. Know that. In the depths of your being, know it. Knowing God is working in our lives. Live life today in joy. This joy is not a giddy happiness. It is a joy that's full of hope and grace. Rejoice in God's promise to be with you today. Trust in God's care for you today. Rest in God's providence for you today. Surrender. Forgive, because you have been forgiven. And may all of us, as we are laid hold of by Jesus, as we are washed in his blood, may we view life in all of its color and all of its beauty, knowing that this is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. In summary, the past is God's to redeem, so release it. The future is under God's sovereignty, entrust it to him. The present is to be lived in his strength. Choose joy and trust. Don't live life looking in the rearview mirror or scared of tomorrow. Today is our gift to live. Christ is everything now. You are his child now. Don't let the pains of the past or the fears of the future keep you from living life today, because Jesus changes everything. Let's pray together. Father, we confess that so often we have been bound by the past and the future. Lay hold of us with such power that we will never be the same. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness in Christ. Would you please help us to believe in the depth of our hearts that you are for us, that you are with us. You have forgiven us. You walk with us. Father, give us a zeal for knowing you. Do not allow us to be complacent. We praise you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Enable us by your power to focus on Jesus, that we might live life today, not bound by yesterday or tomorrow. Amen.